cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and Jessica Paquette standing by at Colonial because it is a very nice stakes card day at Colonial, and I'm sure, I'm confident it's a gorgeous summer day at New Kent. Jess, good morning.
Jessica.
Hey, there you are.
Yeah.
I can't really hear Steve.
All right, Casey, can you... Can you do anything with
okay, I can hear you now. Now it's better.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Jess, I don't know if you were listening, but Johnny, you're following Johnny D, which is for you, I mean, right? That's like
you set
like
the bar so high. How can I ever follow that?
Well, and of course, the kids for the cup, we can't ever laud the late, wonderful Trudy McCaffrey for her concept and all the people, all the young people that took an interest in the game and not just took an interest, but ended up making it their life's work.
It's amazing, and I think of Trudy and Johnny D almost every day, kind of as I'm getting ready to go to the races now at Colonial. All of this, you know, I wouldn't be here if they hadn't believed in a bunch of weird, horse-crazy kids.
Exactly, and you guys have all stayed friends as well. Well, Jess, let's utilize one of your fields of expertise, and that's on the handicapping side, and you've had a great consistent meet, as we've discussed repeatedly. And what's fun about this card today, with the match series continuing and coming to town, you've got a nice variety here. We got the two sprints on the main, and then we got the two routes on the grass, and so it's really a fun eclectic mix. The multi-race sequences end with a very good maiden special weight going 5.5 on the grass, and there's also the start of the late pick 5, the 12% takeout pick 5, that starts in the 5th with a first level allowance for the boys going 1/16. But let's talk the stakes, and it just so happens Al Stahl was with us to start the show, and we talked about Caribbean Caper, who, if she's ready and her natural development as a 4-year-old, she's way the horse to beat.
And I left her off my ticket entirely. She's obviously freakishly good, right? But I feel like if you're ever going to have a chance to get her vulnerable, today's the day. And this is a solid group of horses. This is actually my strongest opinion on the card. Number 5, Chitara, I thought the world of last year. She came to Colonial. It was her first North American start after some South American success. And she looked good. In the paddock, she looked a little heavy. And then the next time she came into the paddock, she looked so much fitter and ran to how she looked. She did exactly what I thought she'd do. And you kind of get a soft spot for these horses that prove you right because they're so few and far between as a handicapper. And she's been a terrific little racehorse since then. She's won at Keeneland, Fairgrounds, Hawthorne. Shows up everywhere and has enough tactical speed, I think, that'll make herself a factor out of the gate.
Well, I don't know. I trust in little Al.
Oh, yeah, no, like, Al will forget more about horses than I will ever know. Like, I'm sure she's right, but I think as a handicapper, if you're looking for a way to find a vulnerability in a horse that's going to be a short price, this could be an opportunity.
No, it is. I mean, that is always, you know, that is always the watchword. I mean, if you're going to beat a horse, at the same time, you, of all the divisions, or all, not the, well, yeah, divisions is fine, of all the different kinds of races and configurations, and I'm using Breeders' Cup actually as the point of reference for this, Jess. And this goes back to a long conversation about layoffs and horses running in the Breeders' Cup, training up, quote unquote. Historically, the only division where that would ever worked was in the sprints. Horses that were off, 70 days, 75 days, and the like. Sprinters can run well fresh. I did ask Al, though. I mean, 7/8 is a demanding distance under any circumstance, let alone, coming back off nearly a year layoff. It's a very good way to start the stakes portion of the card at Colonial, 309 Eastern, with the Seeking the Pearl, a buck and a half on the line going 7/8. Just out of curiosity, how are you starting the pick five in that allowance?
I mean, mostly just trying to live through the first leg, which has been a real sticking point for me so far this season. These pick five sequences have been so competitive. I'm using Ansel, trying winners for the first time. I love the angle of the horse, after they break the ice, going, right into that non-winners of two. I think you have an opportunity to kind of capitalize on some momentum. I also like number two, the Happy Giant. He's better than that last race against Stakes Company might indicate. And these steeplechase horses going back to the flat just have a wealth of stamina.
All right, that gets us to the old Nelson, mile and a 16th. These are the fillies and mares, and you go through this group, and it just so happens. I'm just realizing with Al today, we had Michelle Lovell yesterday, Brendan Walsh, and, we had Lee. But in terms of trainers, we've had three trainers, and all three have prominent horses on these occasions, on this card, flown for Brendan Walsh in here. And even at 15-1, he seemed to say he'd be surprised if she did not run well. But there's some serious horses in here.
And I'll be surprised if we get 15-1 on her, to be honest. I think that may be a little bit of a pipe dream. My top selection here is number 10, Didia. I think this filly might be a star on the rise for Ignacio Correas. She was a multiple grade one winner in Argentina. You never really know if that form translates to North America. And last time out, to me, she looked like a horse that desperately needed a race. She didn't look 1,000% fit. She looked, I'd say, probably about 80%. So for me, the fact that she won, she did it on class alone. And I think we'll see a little bit sharper of a filly today.
Very nice. We go to the 7th, and this is the Buckland. This is boys going a mile and an eighth. And a number of familiar faces in here. Captivating Moon, a horse we've talked to Chris Block about over the years on occasion. Hammy
Smith
has
scratched.
Oh, scratched? Okay.
Haven't
looked at the scratches.
Scratched.
Well, one of our favorites involved here, too, good old Eons, now 6, and 7-time winner for Mark Greer and Arno Delacour. Amen for Joe Orsino shows up here from Gulfstream. How about that? Roadster, who feels like he's 14 years old.
What do you do with Roadster? What do you do with him? He has some strange past performances.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does. What are you doing here?
I'm ignoring Roadster. I think this turned out to be a little bit of a grudge match between Eons and English Tavern. I think that was a tough DQ last time out for English Tavern. Mm-hmm. That was one that could have gone either way. But take nothing away from either of these horses, how they ran last time out. I think it'll be a pretty square rematch again.
The 8th is the Chesapeake. These are boys going 6. And again, I mean, that's the beauty of this kind of a stake opportunity. John Ortiz has got good old Mucho in here, another horse we've talked about a lot. Bulldor making his 28th career start. Necker Island, 27th career start. So I guess this kind of goes up against the the whole meme that horses don't stay around and they all retire. There's also, of course, I mentioned Michelle Lovell and Just Might, who drew outside, is going to have to, you know, it's one thing to draw the outside open air box. This is a little further out, even then. 4-1 on Just Might, and there was somebody else, oh, Nakatomi, with Wesley Ward showing up.
And there are a few scratches out of this race. I don't have them in front of me, but I know this race scratches down a little bit. My top two stay in, Just Might and Mucho. They put on an absolute show last year. And to me, these are the horses that make horse racing fun. They're hard-knocking, blue-collar type of horses that show up and run their races and give people a chance to become fans. Just Might, I think he's better on the main track. And he had nothing go his way on the turf last time out. So I think he'll be back to the old Just Might today. But Mucho off the layoff, I think, is really a very dangerous horse. I think Johnny Ortiz can get them very sharp off the bench. And after a hard campaign, he probably just needed a little R&R. So it's between those two for me.
Well, and we can tell you that there are five scratches. Three's over deuces. The two comes out from Gary Capuano. Then you've got Nakatomi does come out. No Nakatomi from Wesley Ward. Surveillance is out of this from Keith DeSormo. Did not ship, I guess. And then you've got Barron is departing. Butchie Reed will find someplace else. And good old Sir Alfred James, another one who feels like he's been around forever. So instead of... for instance, instead of Just Might leaving from the 13 hole, he's going to leave from the 8.
Which makes it a little more reasonable for him.
Yes, yes, to say the least. There's the stakes portion. There's the four stakes plus the allowance that starts the late pick five. The late pick five do not walk away after the last stake. There's some very notable pedigrees in this ninth race, Jess, including the... Graham Motion participant, Sun B. This is a foal to Spooky Channel.
Yeah, like what a cool pedigree on this filly. You have to think she wants to get a little older and go a little longer, but I'm really interested to see her. Also a cool pedigree on the one time for an angel. Her dam's a half to commentator, who doesn't like commentator. My top selection is number 4, Determined Jester, who I thought gave a very good account of herself at Saratoga for Phil Schoenthal, who also sent out a very impressive debut winner yesterday at Colonial. So this is a barn who, you know, has a stockyard full of nice young horses. And this filly is a half to Bodie Cream, a stakes winner on the turf. So I think getting back on the grass will be what she needs.
I took an interest, too, in Determined Jester, noting Bodie Cream and also the other one, Sacred Oath.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's a nice horse. There's a lot going on in this, and the interesting thing is that Sacred Oath or Determined Jester, I should say, has got the advantage of having made a start and actually ran very well.
Very good start. She gave a very good account of herself at Spa.
Well, the horses that came out of here, the 7, the 11, and the 12, no watch this birdie, the Nacho runner for Michael House. You can take out Keith Dickey. Has scratched Air One, will make a debut elsewhere, and the Catman scratches Mrs. Moulton's Amazon Barbie, and we'll look for her. She's entered up here, actually, I think, tomorrow. Yes, she is, exactly, so she'll run here instead. Jess, it's a very fun afternoon of racing. Yesterday, some prices made the Monday Mid-Atlantic Pick 4. Very much worth playing, and if you negotiated that, close to $2,500.
Not bad for a day's work.
No. Jessica Paquette, everybody, J.M. Paquette, and the broadcast day starts at 1:45 at Colonial. The stakes action, that first really good stake with Caribbean Caper, starts at 3:09. The pick 5, 12% takeout. 3:37 post time. Jessica, enjoy. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Good luck, everyone.
Get lucky with Jess Paquette and the action of Colonial today. I've got everything here. I've got a little. Yeah, I got time to do some work, I think, on this, and I think I will put a ticket together. All right. 20 coming up on 20 after, Andy's going to join us, and this worked out perfect because Andy sent me a text as Johnny came on. I didn't realize how late it had gotten. That was fun with Andy Beyer, by the way. I didn't know if it was going to be a 15 minute, or it ended up being close to a half hour. But then when Johnny came on, I realized I was getting in trouble because Jess, I told you she had a busy morning, and then Andy sent me a text and said I can't get on till at least 11:15 earliest. I said okay. And I realized this is perfect. So Andy's going to join us next, and as we wait for Andy, I got to mention from yesterday had the craziest fun few minutes sitting at a table with Anthony, who of course GMP Farm, who we've been featuring this summer because Scherzando's over there, and he's doing just tremendous. He's a gelding. I tell you what, maybe should have gelded him. Earlier in the year, he looks unbelievable, just amazing. And the farm itself, GMP. A few people, including Jack D'Amico. Jack went out, and we got to get to Jack too this morning. But the farm, everything we talked about. And there's more coming. And he hasn't availed himself. He just really was there for a freshening. And, just to let him be a horse for 45 days and to get gelded. But the things that are available in terms of the services at GMP, if you're up here, you want to get out to the farm and call Steve Rydowski, who's the manager, 516-606-2949 for a tour. He'll make the arrangements, and you go, literally 15 minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, and you're going to be amazed. There's nothing like this anywhere in the Northeast, and they'll show you everything that will make all the difference for your, not just your racehorse, your pleasure horse, your show horse, whatever you got. GMP Farm. Out in Schuylerville, Sherman Lane, off basically Westlake Road, the old stone bridge. But it's calling it that, if you ever went out there when it was stone bridge, that's a shadow of what it's become now for turnouts and rehabs and specific Casey, was that 2 to 3 minutes or 23 minutes? 2 to 3, I think, right? you're right, as opposed to 23. Because if it's 23 minutes, then we can do something else. Then we can get, we can reach for Jack. 2 to 3 minutes, okay. That's fine. You know what else I'll talk about? Did I discuss this yesterday? Did you watch Loose on the Lead Sunday? You can watch the video on YouTube, the Capital OTB's channel. And for those of you that want to watch the show, because me acting like an idiot for an hour, I'm very different on that, I think, right? Don't you agree? Because my whole mission in life is, in terms of my broadcast, my TV aspirations, is to make Seth laugh. That's all I ever am trying to do, is to say it. Sometimes I'm mean, but I'll not mean. We kid because we love. Who's more fun than Seth? And so I'm always trying to make him laugh, and it's just so funny because I've said this before, but not in a while. Invariably, like with Andy coming on, I'm always the straight man. I'm always this, almost all, invariably, 15 years of this, I'm always the straight man. And frequently the punching bag, the speed bag, but, which I don't mind. When I'm with Seth is the only occasion I get to be the cut-up, to be, I don't know. Who are we like? Are we like Alan and Rossi? But I don't know if that's a good. What other comedy? Yeah, there really are. You think about it. That's something we don't have anymore. Comedy teams. Remember growing up? There were Stiller and Mira, who, they left us with Ben, which I guess he's kind of a hybrid of the. That's all. But I no, we don't really have those anymore, you know? Am I right? Comedy teams is not a thing, not so much a thing anymore. I'll tell you who I did happen to see that special on HBO of the two dope queens that were very funny. They were very funny. And I don't know if you call them a comedy team as much as, you know, two co-hosts. It's a little different. Anyway, when Seth and I are together, that some of my favorite time is when I'm poking fun at Seth. But as it happens, Sunday we had Rasai Harper with his Real Players Inside the Backstretch videos that have been a huge hit. Andy Serling joins us. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent, excellent. I can tell you're kind of doing all kinds of things because, of course, tomorrow is the brunch, right?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
How you doing today?
I'm good. I wish I could come to this, Andy. I'm sorry.
Well, I asked him to do it at a time you couldn't come, so.
Everybody's happy.
It all worked out.
I was foreshadowing just that kind of comment minutes ago. Andy, we're down to, you know, these last big 3 weeks. Another terrific weekend of racing. And, you know, I had Andy Beyer on earlier, and Andy's getting excited about the... He says he's worried that the way you're handicapping, that you're going to put a absolute hurt on him on closing Saturday.
Well, I'm not sure I had a particularly great week last week, but that's nice to say.
I don't know if you
qualified at 9-1. It's hard for things to go well.
Oh God, me too. I was in on that.
That's what I really cared about, that you were in on that. So I'm glad we could share that.
Well, because I did not realize, because you and I haven't, we didn't talk this week. Sometimes we, you know, we do. Sometimes we don't during a week. You did talk to me though from the set. That was nice on Saturday.
So what's going on?
Well, you tell me. And you know, there were a couple of performances, obviously Saturday in the two stakes. I mean, Lee's win with Casa Creed. I got to tell you, I was surprised. I did not expect him to be able to, you know, to beat Regal Glory.
Oh well, I mean, she didn't get the right trip, I don't know. I'm not surprised he won. You know, it's hard. It's a tricky situation because I understand why they take the rails down that week for the first time in the inner, obviously with the grade one being run. But every year it creates a problematic situation where there's very strong bias towards horses that save ground and turf. And you might be able to get away with the two paths if you're the better horse and you're chief competition is not on the rail, but you won't get away with a three path for most of the race. It's just as simple as that. It just won't. And basically, she spent the majority of the race on the, you know, outside. And it's a hard thing to do, and Casa Creed basically saving the rail until he had to rally in the stretch. So he, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't the best horse, I'm not saying he wouldn't have won, but it does... It's just a problematic situation, and I don't know, you know, there's nothing really going to do about it. But because of this, you know, it just becomes sort of a difficult thing, right?
Yes, and I mean, not, you know, I in terms of multis, I was protecting, and you know, I certainly didn't think Casa couldn't win.
Steve, I don't want to talk about who you and I bet. It's just not that interesting. He's a good horse who, you know, he's now won three grade ones. And he ran well enough in this race last year to win it. I don't think that Regal Glory lost a lot in defeat. She didn't have the best of trips, and Casper's pretty good. And it's not, yes, I think we all agree he's a better sprinter, but he's not a sprinter that has no chance to go a mile like this. And given how well he ran the race last year, I don't think it's that big a surprise. I picked him second. I thought the filly would probably win. But when the pace was tepid, it kind of bunched the field up. If the pace had been faster, he still might have won because of his running style. But if the pace had been faster, it could have stretched out a little bit, and she could have had some opportunity to save ground. And, you know, I can't stress enough how important it is for people on the inner to, you know, pay attention to trips. And horses that were three wide for a reasonable portion of the race, had, or wider, but for the most part, three wide is probably not as wide as most of them were for a single. They're horses that you want to reevaluate for their next starts. It's not to say they're going to win, but they're absolutely horses that were compromised. And I think that was a good example of it. Taking nothing away from the winner, but the trips did matter in that race.
Let's back up to the 2-year-old race, and part of the conversation I want to fit in is it sure seemed that maybe the inside was tighter, and some of the, you know, some of the deep issues and you know, not the place to be scenario kind of dissipated quite a bit Saturday, I thought.
Okay, I never agreed it was a big issue to begin with, and I don't think it was a massive issue one way or the other. I mean, I think that the problem is that narratives get started and they become the story. And I think it was hard to rally on the inside.
Okay.
And I think that may have been more kickback related. I do think that, that Todd Fletcher made a reasonable point when he said the rail was probably fine, except maybe a little deeper in the stretch. I don't think we've seen a lot of dead rails. It was a day or two where maybe it really wasn't a place to be. But I don't have a strong conviction we've been dealing with a dead rail at this meet. I thought Todd's point is worth considering. And horses were having trouble rallying up the rail, but some horses did. And just because Jackie Davis's horse came up the rail in that race doesn't mean the track changed demonstratively, because for the most part, people have been staying off the inside. Now, you look at the horses, and I'll bring up Saturday's charts. You look at the horses that were successful, and I don't really, you know, on the front end, they weren't horses that were necessarily on the rail. They were on the front end, but not in the rail. As soon as I get these charts to come up. Second race, Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious wasn't on the rail. It was too wide, drifted a little bit in the stretch, right? You know,
yep.
Damon's Mavs, obviously that race was, they all ran in the middle of the track, and the speed wasn't going to be effective there anyway. Did he underperform? No. You know, Volusia, whatever her name is, she came up the rail. Bourbon Bash, who won for Wayne Lucas, well, she was well off the rail, you know? She wasn't on the, you know, 2 to 3 wide and probably wider in the stretch. And I think people have this tendency to see horses wire fields. Express Man, I don't think he was really on the rate. Says two path in the stretch. It seemed like he drifted off it a little bit as well. So I think speed was probably okay on Saturday, but I think the speed situation, as we've talked about last year, was more a function of, you know, closers and the kickback. Now, I don't think it's been as extreme this year. We've seen closers do better for the most part this year, but I think they've had trouble rallying up the rail. So I think a lot's being made about the racetrack that I'm not really convinced is necessarily an issue. It's been slower. And I'm not going to, obviously, if Todd Fletcher feels the track has been tiring horses, then I can defer to Todd on that. It's, you know, Todd's an opinion that I would never, that I have hold in the highest regard. So, but I think we've seen slower times. The times were a little bit faster this weekend, but maybe we saw some better horses. You know, we did see two races under 123. One of them was that 107 fig for Express Man. And I don't know that these aren't the first two races. There was one on Sunday as well that were timed in under 123 for 7 furlongs. There could have been other ones earlier, but I don't remember any off the top of my head.
Interesting. You're talking about Betsy Blue's. Betsy Blue's,
yeah,
went over, but she throttled Brattlehouse.
She was sensational. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Brattlehouse probably didn't run, throttle's the right word. Brattlehouse probably didn't run her very best race. But having said that, Betsy Blue, I mean, she's really come into her own, hasn't she? She's kind of a cool story.
Agreed. And you know, and I thought you made a good point. I saw you comment afterward about Chocolate Gelato, who, you know, faltered upon debut, but really, you know, it sort of was a lesson, I thought, Andy. I mean, I was, you know, always, you're always looking for, you know, who's the big firster, you know, that, you know, to
look
for.
Well, I mean, there was an enormous amount of chatter about that race. I don't think the chatter came from nowhere. It just turned out to be sort of disastrously bad. You know, the Cassie horse had been working very fast. That horse was essentially eased. In fact, was really eased. Lost by 50 lengths, roughly. looking now, about 47, 48 lengths. Upper Case, the mod horse, you know, reliable people, had that horse is very good. I don't think got the best of trips, but really didn't do much running. Interpolate was supposed to be okay, did okay, but Chama Gelato, I mean, she got a 92 buyer, I think, and it's hard because she really didn't run well in her debut, and I know that race got a big figure. I'm still a little skeptical of how reliable that figure was. It was a weird time. You know, we had gotten all that rain before the first race. It was the second race. Then we ran a bunch of turf races. So I'm still a little skeptical. We'll see what that the mod horse that ran second does when she finally shows back up. But I'm a little bit skeptical about her. But regardless of that, I mean, this horse ran a completely different race and ran to the 1-2 she was first time, and I was against her, and I was completely wrong. And I mean, you look at her 92 buyer, and I imagine it's probably too close to come back in the spin away, so you'll probably see her more pointing towards the Frisette. But with Prank getting a 91 and her getting a 92, Todd Mullally has the two best filly maiden breakers in the meet. He's got the two best maiden breakers, period.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've seen anybody, you know, the Wayne's horse, Lucas horse that won on Saturday, and knowing Wayne, he'll probably come back for the hopeful, and I can't really blame him. That horse was got a big, what, 86? I think he got the same figure that the state got, right? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yep.
Well, the state was a good story. Michelle Lovell with her first starter at Saratoga. And that was a disparity in odds that was really a little nonsensical. You know, I think they got carried away by gold, I would say by the large margin of his win, but it wasn't as large as the margin of Damon's Mound.
And that's also strictly a name recognition too, Andy. I mean, Michelle, as much success as she has,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
She's just not a known quantity. Yeah.
No question about it. It's very fair. I think she'd say the same thing. Well, guess what? More people know who she is now.
I don't know if you saw my... Paul. Say again?
Well, she claimed Paul for $50,000 a few years ago, and one popped her up two starts later, and the horse ended up being at least one, about a multiple grade one winner, and a grade stakes winner on both surfaces, I think, third and turf.
No, she does a tremendous job. It does a great, great, great job. You know, I made a point Saturday because just because it was organic and the way those wins started to pile up between Damon's Mound and then here comes the Davis family, Jackie and Robbie with Valleluya and the East Avenue racing team of local Saratoga. I mean, the cheering and the excitement. And I was shocked that was Jackie Davis's first win at the spot.
I wasn't shocked, but I was surprised, and I was happy. It was an incredibly happy celebration, which is always nice to see. And you know, I'm a big fan of Jackie's. I think she's a terrific rider. I mean, she's not going to win the Eclipse, and she's not as good as a lot of people in that room, and she'd be the first to admit it. But she's a good rider, and if given an opportunity, she can get the job done for you. You know, we had a lot of fun with her this winter. And I've been fond of Jackie since she started riding, not only because she obviously a rider, but she was always bright. You know, I remember when she first started riding in New York, she didn't hang around when we went to Belmont. She went to Finger Lakes. She went to Suffolk. You know, she understood where she could win races. She didn't try to force herself into a spot that she wasn't going to be able to be successful. And I also happen to like her a lot. I mean, she's really terrific. So I was extraordinarily happy to see that. That was a very nice moment.
Then there was a nice win for Bobby Roboto and Mark Keller, who, you know, been together since the dawn of time, and you're easy to root for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? What were the other stakes this weekend?
Well, we had the Mahoney. This crazy big invasion is a monster.
He's very good. I mean, he's just better than the. He's better than the turf sprinters, the three-year-old turf sprinters. And I don't see any reason that he can't possibly be competitive against Golden Powell. I think he's a better horse as a three-year-old than Golden Powell was a three-year-old. That doesn't mean that he's better than now, but based on their last races, Golden Powell looks a little vulnerable. And I guess they're running him in the Phoenix on the dirt, huh? to try to get him, help his stud deal.
Which I see
guess
that.
Makes a certain sense. Didn't he run in dirt to begin his career? I think he did. And, yeah, no, Big Invasion's a cool horse. We'll see what Christoph does with him. You know, somebody started a conversation with me on Twitter last night, which I found kind of amusing, saying that there should be more graded stakes for turf sprinters. And I'm thinking, no, there shouldn't. And, you know, much as it's, you know, it's become a big part of the programs because it's the lowest common denominator race, right?
Yes. And, you know, when PJ first, because it was PJ who brought them from the Mid-Atlantic, you know, they've been a staple of Mid-Atlantic racing for a long time. And then PJ started to utilize them, and they've taken root because we've got interesting configurations at the three tracks. And horsemen love it because it doesn't, it doesn't take a toll on the horses. And,
Love them because they reward the slowest horses in their barn. We don't have a straight race, to be honest.
That's a fair angle, I guess, on it. There you go.
It's not fair. It's true. I mean, it's okay. I don't mind handicapping these races, and they're interesting puzzles. It's fine, but let's not pretend that they're a championship-worthy division, and let's also not pretend that they're in the Breeders' Cup for any reason other than the fact that they can make money by running these races. And listen, they're getting big fields. And people were responding by betting them, so that's fine. But they're not championship races. There's not going to be a champion turf sprinter. I certainly hope there isn't. I know one of them won an Eclipse Award in a very imperfect year a few years ago. But for the most part, it's not a division crying out for a boatload of graded stakes. God knows we have enough graded stakes as there is. And certainly, since gradings are very much a tool for breeding, there is not, I find it hard to believe in my lifetime that there will be a market for turf sprinter stallions. You know, a horse like World of Trouble, he won the Carter. He was a very efficient dirt horse. So I can understand him standing because of his versatility. But I have trouble seeing, at least in this country, there being a market for, you know, a turf sprinter, which is why Golden Pal is trying to race like the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's understandable. I get that. He's a cool horse, but for the most part, people will continue to keep going overseas to buy their turf horses to hope to get the best bloodlines.
We should mention, Andy, because I didn't get a chance yesterday. We were focused on, you know, there was so much good racing and top-level, you know, open stuff and graded stakes, like what went on at Churchill, etc. And I still have Del Mar stuff to do. But the New York Bred Day on Friday, and Rudy Rodriguez, as I tweeted, our national nightmare is over. Rudy, with start number 48, gets off the dock.
Well, I don't know if it's over. I mean, you're still talking about a trainer who's been hitting the board at roughly the percentage he normally wins with quite a few starters, you know, almost 50 starters.
Yep.
So
yep.
Right now, and you know, I'm happy for what do you think now. He got his act back together to a certain extent, and he won, and I'm happy for Rudy to win. I certainly like Rudy and respect him, but you still have to be honest and say he's got 3 weeks left to turn it around. But it's not so much. I mean, listen, there are times you get unlucky, you're not winning, and you could be 0 for 30 with 12 seconds and 6 thirds, and your horses are running. He is way off of the mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his results do feel like a little bit more than a regression of the mean. Why they're happening, I have no idea, but they're not really running for the most part. And he's running a share of live horses. So we'll see if, you know, that helps pick things up. I hope for his sake it does. But I'm not going to start running the better horses because he happened to win one race. I'm not throwing them out willy-nilly, but I won't be afraid to bet against a shorter-priced horse of his, especially if I think it's at least mildly vulnerable.
Yeah, Bankit and Seafoam separated by a nose in the shipment, and nice win for Bank on Anna, Phil Serpy.
You know, Phil Serpy is a trainer whose name is not getting the Mets and it deserved. What is he, like 4-for-8 or something at the meet?
Yes.
And or 4-for-9, and he should have won on, was it Wednesday or Thursday, where he ran that first-time starter when Irad cut off half the field. I mean, he almost clipped heels and went down early in the running of that race. And the fact that he finished third, beating a couple, 2-3 lengths, of course, clearly would have won. The one from that decent broodmare, Lady Harrington, or... You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I don't have
what was the day in front of me.
It was Wednesday?
I think it was Thursday or Wednesday.
Hold on. I'll tell you right away. Right here. I got it. It was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday? Of course it was, yeah. Because I... Hang on, I'm going to bring it up. Phil's having that sensational meet with just a limited number of starters. And I think it's going somewhat unnoticed. It's all coming together, was the horse. Ran third, beaten three lengths. I mean, that was a disaster of a trip. By the way, the chart says start good. They knock their starts all the time. Yeah, it's all coming together. Phil says 3-for-10, but I don't think that's true. I think he's won 4 because he won with Bank on Anna. She's only got a Lady Well Court. It was a slow race, but she would have run much faster. Let me take a look and see where he stands, the trainer standings, because he's, you know, he doesn't have that many horses, and they're all really running well.
No.
You know? I think that's cool. Good for him.
I agree. He's one of our favorites. Smiling Phil.
Phil's 11 stars, 4 wins, a second, a third. He really should have 5 wins and a second, 11 starts. And that horse would have won. It's inarguable, to be honest with you.
You know who else has got in that range? He's probably had more starters, but Dave Donk has got like 5 or 6 wins.
Dave Donk is 5-for-10. After a terrific Belmont. No, he's... And, you know, the job he's done with those horses he got from Phil Gleaves. Yes, he's kind of out of conditions in a tough spot. How about Thin White Duke, who almost beat Golden Pal? You know, he's run twice to meet with a second and a third in the state. He's just really turned it around and got back to that promise show of the 2-year-old. These are all horses that Steve Crist and Phil Gleaves involved with also, and Ken Duretz, his partner, the horses have. And that they ran second with that horse in the last race the other day. What's the cool name? Succulent?
Succulent is correct.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's the horse come alive? 2, 6-for-23. His horse has been very live at the meet. He's been, you know, not having a Wesley-like year. But he just doesn't have good 2-year-olds. Linda Rice is 8-for-47. That turf sprinter's really ran well. The break is made. This is Green, is it?
That's what DJ Stables, yes.
Kristoff has been very slow. He's got 10 wins, and he's having a good meet from that perspective. But you know that when he won with Big Invasion, that was his first win since July 30th.
I believe it. I hadn't noticed his name charting.
He had a huge Belmont. I think one of the most impressive things about his meet at Saratoga, which was terrific last year, was that he had this big Belmont, and he still did well at Saratoga. But there's never a guarantee. Todd's also heating up. I mean, obviously had a sensational weekend. You know, he's got 20 wins. And Chad Brown is 27. Obviously, Chad is a heavy favorite to beat him with 16 days left. But I mean, you think of the weekend that Todd had, right? I mean, with that maiden express man getting a 107 buyer, that was a 3-year-old maiden. Interestingly enough, it was the other half that was supposed to be the good one.
I know.
And much like the week before when Croupy ran that sort of exciting close to run third, being for second. And it was the other half. And I was in the winner's circle after that race, and Irad, who had ridden the other one, was waiting on the wings for Todd's in the winner's circle, and I went over to him and I said, am I wrong? Weren't you riding the one that was supposed to be the good one? And he laughed, and he said, I thought so.
I was standing there. Actually, you remind me. I was standing there. I heard you say that to him, and I agree. Both of those occasions.
The other one was a killer. I mean, they've been working well together. The other one, I guess, worked better, but this one has been outbreaking them. And, I mean, maybe the track helped him a smidge, but 107 buyers, for debuts don't grow on trees. And if you look in the history of horses that run numbers like that, they are stakes horses going forward. And, you know, it's funny, I was reading with Dave Brennig, I was reading some article this morning, and saying, you know, talking about Liam's Map, who ran a fast race first time out, right? And, you know, he lost his second start, which I'd forgotten. And it was Dave, yeah. And, you know, obviously saying, it could be another Liam's Map. Now, in my opinion, Liam's Map on his good day was one of the best horses the last, I don't know, 20 years. Is that fair? The last 10, 15 years? 10 years. Let's say 10 years.
Yeah, you were always, you were an early convert.
I didn't appreciate him at the start. His Whitney, yep. Though. His Whitney, you know, I am a sucker for horses that run big races and lose. And he is in that category, you know, like the search results this year in the fifths. But he was really in that category. He was very good. I'll always regret that he didn't run the classic against American Pharoah.
I remember you were banging the drum for that.
I get it. I understand why they did it. But listen, it's not my horse and it's not my money. And Vinny's terrific. So I'm not, you know, last guy in the world. I'm looking to criticize Vinny Viola, who not only is a huge player in the game and he puts a lot of money in the game, he's also about as nice a person as you could meet around the track, at least in my experience. I mean, he's just such a terrific guy. But I just wish he'd run the classic, because I always felt he would have been kryptonite for American Pharoah. And American Pharoah obviously ran a tremendous race in the classic, but it was a different race. And Liam's Map, he was a monster.
Andy, you're gonna obviously be busy with the brunch tomorrow, so you won't be on Talking Horses. But you got anything for Wednesday?
I love not having. You know, I could be like some other people and only have to handicap 5 races for Wednesday. So it's like a holiday for me. I don't. You know, I didn't look. I only looked. I glanced at the, you know, the pedigrees in the fifth race. I feel like this Mia is supposed to be pretty good. Maybe even the Patna too. Yeah, right. Binsky ran okay for Linda first time out, but, you know, I like Linda's second time stars. That horse was an MTO first time out and actually ran pretty well. But if those horses are good, I'm going to be interested to see if the 7-2 on Mia holds up. I doubt that. The 6th race is a very interesting race. I had it open to an awful lot of horses. I had it open to 3, 5, 6, and 8. I hadn't really decided where I was going to go. It's kind of easy when you only have to come up with a top pick. I thought probably Brad Cox would win the 7th. I thought You Glow Girl actually ran a lot better than it looks in the debut. I just saw Karamoka for Mitch Friedman. Another guy who's run, you know, as an animal.
Two for nine. And he's also got one of the Kara horses on Thursday that I thought looked okay.
He's alive in that race. I mean, it feels like Dakota Gold's like 2-5 in this race, right?
Well, he's 1-22, Danny Gargan.
I know, but he lost by a head last time, you know?
I know. That's fair. I thought Louis Lazzanero's horse with Chad, Marinara Sauce, is okay.
She's okay. Yeah, okay. I'll get her second. She's okay, but she's not supposed to beat Dakota Gold. But I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I'm always rooting for Louis. I'm a little interested in Aziza in the last race.
Michelle Hemingway.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little interested in that horse.
Well, she's 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a little interesting. Let's do that. I'll tell you what race came up really a fun race is the Skidmore on Friday.
Oh, I haven't looked yet.
Oh. Well, Oxymore is back, the horse that won impressively for Adam Rice, that Mike Dubb and 4 people, Mike Dubb, Matticat, you know, Saul and his guys, Morris Bailey, and another name is written here. I think it's a new owner. It's something Nick Skimmelhorn or something? Is that the guy? Bought the horse for a decent amount of money, and that was very impressive, but he's running against another horse for, you know, Chad has him now, Appraise, that Euro that won first time, very impressively on top of the super fast pace, and really ran very well as the shocking rank outsider. You also got Alex Bregman, the, you know, plays for the Astros, his horse Cadillac Candy's in there as well. This is a tough bunch. Nonay Hudson, also a little interesting going first time in the grass for Wesley Ward. He's run this horse in the dirty. He was a favorite in the Tremont, but you might remember the Dam, Raw Silk, was a pretty good horse that was trained by Tommy Albertron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Snap Decision's running tomorrow, by the way, the jump early. You know, let's see what Thursday has. I know we don't have a lot of time.
You're good. Dream Central trying to come back with another win for Gary and Eddie F.
I'm a little disappointed that I got no traction from Gary on my tweet. I'm really...
He didn't see it. He doesn't...
So did Gullo. Gullo appreciated.
Well, I told Gary about it, and I told Gary about it, and he laughed like hell. He thought it was fun.
That's why somebody said to me, oh, you're being mean. I said, Gary Siakas not only got a thick skin, he's got a good sense of humor, and he's fine. Gary can tease me anytime he wants, and he's got a good sense of humor. I like Gary.
Well, for those that didn't see it, Andy put up somebody put up a picture of Gary with the Clydesdale. Well, and Andy said, "Am I the only person having trouble telling them apart?"
I said, "I can't be the only person." I think Thursday's card is maybe two interesting races, but just horses. Nobody. That Skidmore is a really nice race. You know what came up a good race? The Summer Colony. Army Wife and Andrew Tante, Leader of the Band's improved, Bonnie South looking to get back on track, and First to Axe is improving, and, you know, Exotic West, who, as much as it pains me to say it, Gary's done one hell of a job with this filly.
Yes.
They claimed her for 40. I mean, what if they won? Like, 250,000 with her?
Uh-huh.
No, it's tremendous. That must be worth a lot of free dinners for him and Nova. Does Louis let anybody pay there anyway?
No, nobody pays there, Louis. It's like it's almost like a soup kitchen.
I had to sneak in there. I went there with my mom and Sarah last Christmas, and I had to sneak in. Louis said, "Why don't you tell me you're coming?" I said, "Because you wouldn't made me pay. You wouldn't let me pay." He said, "It doesn't cost me anything." I said, "Louis, you have a restaurant."
That's not the way it works. Exactly.
Okay. He's too nice a guy.
He's the greatest.
And he's the nice guy, Lee. You know, yeah. I have to say, though, I did sit in the box for the first few hours on Sunday, and so I'm right behind Lee, and I would get a little sick and tired of people coming in and congratulating him. Like, well, I think I'm starting to sour on Lee. It was just too many people like him. I'm going to have to turn on him.
It's, there you go. He bought an Audible yesterday for $200.
Great news.
Well, it was funny because I also saw Al. I didn't see Al Gold on Sunday night. I did not go Sunday night. I went to the sale yesterday, and Al wins the Haskell, which is $100,000. So 60% of $1 million is $600,000, and he promptly spends the whole $600 on a hard spun.
Probably well, got some more money behind it.
Exactly. But there's one maxim is with people that love the game and love the action. If they win, they're going to put it right back into the game.
I like so many people. I was very thrilled.
No, it was great. I'm telling you, I totally agree. I created the hashtag Feel Good Saturday.
Yeah, Lee's a good man.
Andy, again, tomorrow, everybody, there might still be time to join in 10 a.m. out at Saratoga National, the 15th annual brunch, and Andy being honored by the backstretch, the chaplaincy, the racetrack chaplaincy of America, the New York division, Humberto Chavez and Nick Harris and everybody, and $150, casual attire, and it could not honor somebody more generous with their support.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm not sure I'm deserving, but I'm very touched by it, to put it mildly. And my mom is very excited, so that's...
That's all.
Lucy made an appearance in track. She came on Thursday.
I heard. And who was it who famously said hello to her, talked to her? Coach.
Oh,
Lucas. Lucas.
Wayne. Lucas, yeah.
Yeah. Andy, I appreciate this.
Dito finds out, Dito's going to be a little jealous.
Andy, I'll see you in the afternoon tomorrow.
Okay, Steve, thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks so much. Andy Serling, everybody, to wrap up what's been a very full 3 hours. I started with Al Stahl, the Andy Beyer conversation about the anniversary today, 50 years ago today, Secretariat, and Jessica Paquette. I'm going to work on a Colonial Pick 5, and Andy and Papo, I will explain. Yeah, I have to take Andy to the end. And Johnny D.
All right, everybody. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. We'll be at the racetrack. Looking forward to it. Start of week 7 or 6. Week 6. Alabama week. Good luck. Talk to you in the morning. Like sheep of
the
angels riding down
the line. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.